yesterday, I guess they call it officiating a wedding. I thought the officiating came, you know, after you were married, you know, refereeing the scraps and all that. But anyway, it's the first wedding I've done in the state of West Virginia. Second wedding in my life. I married my son down in Washington, D.C., so I'm a rookie at giving, doing this, and hopefully that's the last of it. But I've had mixed emotions about doing weddings. But anyway, it was a great time, and got home about 1 o'clock this morning, and with the help of Trey, he brought me home. And I think I must have worn him out with the conversation. That's why he's not here this morning. But when I was preparing to do that wedding, I don't think my thing's on it. Testing? Is that better? Okay. When I was preparing for that service, people were surprised at what the passage of Scripture was. They'd never probably had been to a wedding and heard a message on coming out of the book of Leviticus, the old law portion of the Old Testament. But as I was preparing that message, became apparent that that message is applicable for not only weddings, but also for all relationships that we find ourselves participating in. Here? What's that?
It's out again.
It's out again? Huh. I don't know what's going on. Well, we'll do something different. I'll borrow Larry's mic there when he's done. Let's just have Larry go ahead and read the scripture, and I'll use that mic.
The burnt offering.
This is Leviticus 6, what, 8 through 13, right?
Right.
Okay.
8 through 13. The burnt offering. The Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his son this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning, and the bar must be kept burning on the altar. The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body, and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the bar has consumed on the altar, and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off these clothes and put on others, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonial clean. The bar on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add bar wood and arrange the burnt offering on the bar and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The bar must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out." Bless these words.
Thank you. So it became apparent when I was going over that scripture that that passage can also be very applicable for all relationships. In particular, you know, certainly our husband and wife, but a family member, grandchild, special friend, That passage, I think you'll see, can apply in all of those. Another example of that would be the love chapter. Remember 1 Corinthians 13. Everyone thinks, well, there's a scripture for a wedding. It certainly is. But it's also good for all relationships, very applicable. So this is another example, I think, of what I'm talking about here. Let's see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us in regards to this, when we're talking about relationships to the to others. And more importantly, what it can contribute to the growing relationship each of us should be seeking for the Lord. That's the most important part. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just ask this morning that your truth will ring clear here this morning, that we can open our hearts and minds to what you would have us learn this morning. We thank you for these Old Testament books that are so important to our growth, so important to enriching the New Testament, bringing it to life more. And we know that the Old Testament, as in the New, it's all about your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We see here in this passage five times that God commands the priests to make sure that that the fire on the altar perpetually burns. Five times. One reason that for that is, if we were to go over to Leviticus 9, it tells us that God started the fire. God started the fire on the altar. That in itself indicates to us that he has provided the means necessary for us to commune with him. He started the process, and he provided the means for us to commune with him. And the priest's job was to keep the fire burning. Now, what does that mean? Why keep the fire burning? Why is it necessary for it continually to be burned? The writer doesn't tell us here, but over back in Exodus chapter 29, verses 38 to 43, the writer there sheds some light on this subject. Let me read it for you, those verses. This is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day: two lambs a year old. Offer one in the morning and the other at twilight. With the first lamb, offer a tenth of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil from pressed olives, and a quarter of hin of wine as a drink offering. Sacrifice the other lamb at twilight with the same grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning, a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord. For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Notice this: before the Lord. There I will meet you and speak to you. And also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. So these verses remind us that worship really is essentially meeting with God. Meeting with God. Hopefully, and I'm sure he is, with us here this morning.
Amen.
We are meeting with God. Encountering God on the terms that he proposes and by the means He provides. And what is the means provided here? It is the continual sacrifice, which reminds the people of God that they have a continual need for atonement if they are going to fellowship with God. God's up here, a living God that's perfect. We're over here, sinners. Saved sinners, perhaps. But there's a separation. God cannot allow a sin to be in His presence. So if we are going to enjoy the benefit and favor, His favor towards us, there must be atonement. Must be atonement. And not only does that continuous sacrifice remind us of our continuous need for atonement, it also reminds us of the divine provision of that atonement. The provision God also provides. God provides the way for His people so they can enter into His presence and fellowship with Him.
Amen.
Very simple. Atonement is not in the blood of those slaughtered bulls and goats under the Levitical law. It is ultimately in Jesus Christ. And that point is being brought out, I think, here in Leviticus 6 by way of what we would call foreshadowing or a picture of what's to come. That's what's happening on the altar here. You see, Jesus fulfills the picture of this burnt offering by offering the sacrifice that provides the basis for eternal communion with the living God. Since the way into the enjoyment with God's presence, since that way in is atonement, that atonement had to be made perpetually in the Old Testament with these sacrifices, both to remind us of the need for the atonement and also to point to the provision of it.
Amen.
But because of Christ's real once-for-all atoning sacrifice, no offering remains to be made. We have been reconciled. Communion requires atonement, and that atonement has been provided in Jesus Christ. So the believer, we believers can come with confidence before the Lord, not on the basis of a repeated sacrifice, but on the basis of a sacrifice, which once for all was made clean, has made clean all those who trust in Jesus.
Amen.
He did our atonement. Now, there's more to this passage, I think, than the discussion of atonement. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. I want to talk about three things here. Three truths that I think we can apply out of this ancient Old Testament text. First of all, that verse that I just read, verse 13. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. First thing I like to say about it is that it describes a practice. This passage in Leviticus describes the law of the burnt offering given by God to Moses and the people of God. It also refers to part of the worship of God's people in the Old Testament times, the bringing of sacrifices and offerings to the Lord, and the presenting of them on the altar as an expression of their repentance, their love, and devotion to God. The picture which, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, the Lord Jesus came to fulfill as he offered himself without a spot to God. So upon this special altar at which the people worshiped and consecrated themselves to God, a flame burned day and night. The fire must be burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Now remember, we're thinking about here relationships, husband and wives, fathers and mothers, children to parents, good friends that we have in our Christian walk. So the first idea about this verse is that as a historical fact, it describes a practice. But much more is important to us at this point. Secondly, it suggests a picture. For instance, how that steadily burning flame, never going out, expresses our longing for love that burns between relationships.
Amen.
And without becoming too sentimental, it is nevertheless true that the love of your hearts burn brightly together. And the verse applied in this manner expresses our longing for your love for each other. But even more, it expresses our longing for your love for the Lord. Charles Wesley, in one of his greatest hymns, put it like this: kindle a flame of sacred love on the main altar of thine heart. There let it be for God's glory burn with inextinguishable blaze. Now, as you seek to bring all the future to God, your hearts, your lives, and your home, let this be true. The flame shall ever be burning upon the altar. There let it for God's glory burn with indistinguishable blaze. And that brings me to the third thought about the scripture. It reveals a principle. The flame did not burn unattended and uncared for. It had to be cared for and fed. The passage tells us how. In verse 11, new fuel had to be added to it. And each day, in verse 12, new fuel had to be added to it. And only as that was done could the offering raise to God each day. The flame had to be tended. It was not an accident that it burned. So it is with our relationships. Take time to tend the flame. Do not let business commitments, ambitions, or anything else cause you to neglect each other. Remove the ashes every day. Never let the sun go down on your anger. Renew the flame with something every day.
Amen.
How many relationships have gone utterly cold because folks did not take time to tend the flame? And so it will be for your love for God. Take time to tend the flame there every day.
Amen.
How busy we can become. The flame of love of God can be easily neglected. And the Lord's day can be a lazy day, or a day for chasing all over the countryside, relaxing and seeing friends. Tend the flame. God will not let the flame die, but you can neglect it till it becomes only a travesty of what it ought to be.
Amen.
Thank God for His love for us, for you and for me. Thank God that that flame never dies. It is a steadfast love, a love that went all the way to Calvary, to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. But let us make absolutely sure from our side it is tended. Tend the flame.
Amen.
Let Charles Wesley's words be your prayer for today and every day. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think of Thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up Thy gift in me.
Amen.
I encourage you with the following charge. I charge you to make God the center of your relationship. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. This is your birthright as a Christian. So take time daily to refresh your personal lives and your relationship at the well of God's Spirit. Secondly, I charge you to develop an attitude of Christian joy in your relationship. So important. In verse 19, Paul declares, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The joyful attitude will be a lasting buffer between you and the evils of the world that can assault that relationship. And thirdly, I charge you to be mutually respectful to each other. Paul again in verse 21 admonishes us to be subject to each other in the fear of Christ. If you develop a mutual respect for each other, you will be for each other able counselors. Let me end with Paul's silver bullet for God-honoring relationships, also found in the book of Ephesians. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this passage of Scripture this morning. Passage of Scripture has one meaning with many applications. We know that that's the beauty of all God's Word, all your Word, that it is living, that it never changes, and it's complete. We thank you so much for allowing us to apply this old text to our living relationships for today. We pray that we will learn to respect one another more, that we will show Christ's love to others more, that we will spend our lives exhibiting joy as a result of our relationship with you to others. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for another week. We just pray that we can become more honoring and respectful of your word, and we pray that we can grow in our gratitude and express our thanks to you without having to be asked to, but to voluntarily thank you each and every day for our blessings. Lord, we know that we're all blessed here. There are so many desperate folks in this world, lost their homes, have lost loved ones, those people who are fighting for their life. We just pray that somehow, Lord, those folks everywhere can feel your presence, knowing that you'll always be at their side. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The final hymn is number 17. Come Thou Fount. Oh, great, Becky. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, to your heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain, feast upon it, mountain by redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I come, and I hope by my good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His gracious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it to the courts above.